What's good, y'all? You already know what it is. King's Landing, back with another episode. It's Jared. You know, you follow me on Twitter at @_theKing_. And go ahead, follow my brother Brian at KingHead57 on Twitter and Instagram as well. More podcasts, go ahead, follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and IG at the Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon at patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network and visit the bcnet.com. But you already know, Falcons victorious on a wild Sunday afternoon showdown for the NFC South, getting out of the game, overtime victory, 37-34 over the Carolina Panthers. Wild one. That's probably the most wild game I've seen in my life.
How Marcus Peters say? I said we're not done yet.
4-4.
Yes, sir. But to keep this momentum rolling, keep shocking the NFL. You know, if you're a real Falcons fan, you not pretty shocked. You happy that this is happening. This is not shocking for us.
Been saying it since episode one, saying it all offseason, man. 4-4. I'm not even gonna dwell on the close losses because at this point we almost halfway through the season. You first place in the South. You know, people saying it was a battle of the, you know, the two of the worst teams in the league for a division. It's like, look, it's hard to win in the league. It's hard to win divisional games. It's hard to win divisions. So I'm not hearing any excuses. You get out of there, and we finally got 30 plus points on the board with the division on the line. Like I'm taking all of it. So
all day long.
I love it. I love it, man. It was one of those ones. I was in the bar. I'll give you a little quick one. I was in the bar watching. It was Monday, and I was like, okay, you know, we should win this one pretty convincingly. PJ Walker's not that good. I know our secondary's banged up, but it's a pretty simple path to victory. Double DJ Moore, and make it hard on PJ Walker to play quarterback. Yeah, he beat the Bucks, but I think that Bucks team is just a more dejected situation. The Falcons had something to play for, and it was a dogfight to the end. You know what this game reminded me of?
What's that?
That 2015 game where Julio Moss, Luke Kuechly to give the Panthers their only loss of the season.
Definitely. They got owned again.
So, but no, I liked it. Mariota, it was another roller coaster ride. I know some people on Twitter defending them. This game doesn't change my opinion of them. Like, I knew going in they were going to have to open the offense up. It was a better matchup than what they had the past 3 weeks against. You know, you go against the Browns, the Niners, the Bengals. You kind of – those weren't good matchups. We got out of that with at least a win, so I'll take it versus the Niners. You know, you run the ball, slow the game down, hope you can win off mistakes. You can't beat those teams straight up. But this game, it's like, yeah, I mean, you can open it up a little bit. That Panthers offense, at least going into it, you're not really scared of that Panthers offense. I mean, they put up 34 points. They jumped on our defense, but Mariota played a solid game, two interceptions aside. We called the two picks. We knew it was bound to happen. The more you throw the ball at Mariota, the more mistakes he makes. But I'll give him credit. When the game was on the line, that big 30-yard run in overtime put us in cool range. You put us inside. You crossed the 50, and I'm assuming we got 3 points with Youngway going out there and lining up. So,
yeah, that Mariota played a great game. I think that, like you said, that late scamper, that was a signature moment for him, taking a read option against Brian Burns and skeeting out the way and getting up out of there. You know, I thought he was going to get hit, and he got out of there. He made a play when he needed to make a play on his birthday. So, you know, I hope he had a great night.
Yeah, sure was his birthday, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Marcus, 29. Happy birthday with a W. All-time thriller.
Yes, sir.
So, but no, I think I like how it was just a complete complimentary game from the offense as a whole. I mean, yeah, you got Kyle Pitts got loose, you know, 5 catches, 80 yards and a touchdown. Drake London contributed some, you know, he didn't really have too much in terms of production, but his blocking and getting people loose. And he had some timely catches, you know, 4 catches for 30 yards, but he drive extenders when he showed up. Damir Bird, that 4-2 Blaze showed up to put the game, you know, give the Falcons the lead. It was just all around. And then Algier and Huntley, tag team, you know, they gave you – Falcons put up 167 yards on the ground. I know Mariota gave you, you know, 43 of it. So you still got 120 yards from your young running backs, and we still don't have Cordarrelle Patterson yet.
And so, we opened up the offense and got some balls over the pits. We got 9 targets.
Yep.
That's a season high, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think Cordarrelle comes back and plays more receiver?
I think so. That's what I would push for is more of a pass involvement role. Yeah, he's going to get carries, but Algier and Huntley are eating right now. That why am I going to take the ball out of their hands? That's the future of my offense anyway. So extend the life of Cordarrelle. Put him truly more in a Debo role where he's a big slot jet sweeps. I think he's going to bring a new dimension to the offense that we talked about going into the season. Like, we weren't really pressed about Damian Williams. It's like, look, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Cordarrelle Patterson, and now Damir Bird showing, you know, that real speed, that top off the defense type speed, and then you still got a power run element. I think the offense is going to get loose here over the next few weeks if they stay healthy.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see the options that are starting to open up with these young rushers. Like you said, we could put Cordarrelle in the slot, and even, you know, you have a Bird at the fourth receiver stretching the safeties deep. That, you know, that's another element that we didn't have the first half, well, you know, first quarter of the season, where, you know, the fans were calling for it. But the great head coach Arthur Smith, you know, he's slowly bringing us along. You know, he has a great – it's almost like it's opening like a flower. Like, no, you gotta bring these guys along slowly, even though they're vets. Like, at least seeing Bird and even Bryan Edwards on the field. Like, I haven't seen him get – it was almost like he caught his first ball all season. But, you know, he was seen finally. You know, Zacchaeus doing what he does. It was just a catch, but he's more valuable. They're all the receivers are more valuable in the role that they play, regardless of if they get stats or if they catching balls and you know, getting targets. That comes, but that's very random in this offense. And they know they're in a role where they have to play their role and just be great in their role. So their fight Sunday showed that they are committed to greatness, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do coming into the latter parts of the season, especially with injuries piling up and, you know, the season getting long in the tooth, and we are just now opening up our offense. Even though our corners are shot, you know, we still got a lot of depth on offense as far as what we could do as an offense now that we're running the ball with more effectiveness and more efficiency. I see them continuing to open up the offense, but it's going to be a methodical open.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, Arthur's building on this thing. It's not just a out the gate. This is what we got. This is what we're going to run. It's, you know, figuring out what Mariota's comfortable with, figuring out who likes to run the ball, how they like to run it. And that's why I've been pounding the table for my dog, Arthur Smith. They're the 9th ranked offense going into this game in terms of DVOA, like with the lowest amount of money spent on the offensive side of the ball. Like, the only big contract over there is Jake. You got a couple first round picks. You got Lindstrom, you got McGarry, you got Kyle Pitts, you got Drake London. But it's like, again, going back to it, when basically half of your cap is dead cap, and you didn't really spend any money on offense, you're really just trying to do the best you can with what you got, and that's what Arthur Smith's been doing.
Yeah. Do we sign anybody, or do we trade for anybody?
No. I mean, that's a sure side. I know we talked about last episode. Like, it's no point. Let's rock out with what we got. They're 4-4 as is. Whoever they trade for is going to take. Roquan Smith just cost a second and a fifth. I would have traded for him, but I'm not giving up a second for him just to have to turn around and pay him $100 million in the offseason. So it's like, don't, you know, you don't have to double pay for the players. It's like, you know, the Ravens gave a second round pick and they about to give $100 million when they got to still pay Lamar.
Facts.
So just don't put yourself in that position, man. We good to go as is. We, you know, we're in the easy stretch of the schedule. Like, yeah, you got the Chargers up next coming off their bye week. But then after that, you got the Panthers again. You got, you know, just the fluff. And, you know, you start getting back healthy. I think these boys go on a run. Like, I gave them about 6-7 wins. They might sniff 9 at this rate.
9 wins? That's a playoff team.
Playoffs. Home playoff game. I will be in attendance. Our first home playoff game since 2016.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. We're 3-1 at home. Arthur Smith is starting to, the culture is starting to sink in for the team and for the fans. I mean, we should be undefeated at home. I'm not going to rehash that, but it's like, it's an about face. We were talking about last year. You were like, bro, they won what, one game at home? The fans never saw the team win in person.
No, that was terrible. I didn't like going to the game because I knew, you know, I had a bad feeling every time we go in there. But then you watch them on TV on the road across the country, and they putting up points and fighting like they're fighting now this year. And I think that is also a function of the quarterback situation. Like I told you, you know, having Mariota to be able to put up 40 yards on the ground on 6 carries, that's a threat.
Yep.
However you look at it. And now he's throwing, he had a 105.2 QB rating. I'm taking that all day. You got the dual threat, and he's not making too many mistakes. He has 8 incompletions out of 28 passes. Surprise, surprise. My boy was throwing the ball. Yep. He got over your 20 threshold.
Yeah.
The 20s were holding strong into the fourth, and then it got loose.
Yeah. It's just still the interceptions, but it's like, look, I was talking to somebody on Twitter earlier. It's crazy that the Falcons have a decent D-line. You know, it's not the best in the league. I give them all about league, around league average, plus or minus. O-line, I'm still going to put them league average. They're good run blockers. They're not the best pass blockers, but they're not getting abused. Mariota's not getting abused behind it like Matt Ryan has been. You know, we all thought sending Matt Ryan to Indy was going to, you know, give him a couple of years of just top-tier O-line play, top-tier running game behind him, and he doesn't have to carry the team. And we got a third-round pick to trade him to Indy, and Matt didn't even make it to week 8. And so it's like, I was wrong on just saying let Matt Ryan retire. It's like you got compensation out of him. You got out of that contract and that situation early. The Colts are trying to trade Matt Ryan at the deadline, and nobody's taking him. So it's crazy the change where we are definitely not 4-4 if Matt Ryan's a quarterback right now.
Nope.
So, but
the curtain has been pulled. The show is over.
Yeah, man. I hope he just
bait. We rolling. Matt Ryan at home with, you know, with the kids, with the cubes.
Come back and be in the Ring of Honor. We'll put him in the hall. You know, all that, but you can anyway, take snaps, man.
And throw passes off the stage like with Mud Duck.
Yeah,
but shout out to Mud Duck. I think he kept that energy strong.
Yeah, man. Top of course, 7th round draft pick, played 20 years in Atlanta. It wasn't 20, but it felt like it.
Yeah, they're fighting.
So, but give me how you feel about the defense? It was a rough day. Give me your thoughts on the defense. They gave up 34 points, 317 yards passing, and 169 yards rushing.
Does Michael Walker listen to the podcast? That boy had 8 tackles. He led the team in tackles. He went from 0 to 8. Hey, that's good improvement right there. I saw him hitting fullbacks. I saw him playing football, what we've been asking for. You know, the mistakes are always going to be there, but he had a solid game. I didn't have too many issues as I've had with him. But I did definitely notice a difference in time, play time between him and Troy. And my immediate football mind is telling me that they're going to need Troy for Austin Eckler. And they use Michael Walker for that power for big fella, Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, more of a physical game. I can see that. Because, yeah, Troy's little arms ain't wrapping around Deontay Foreman. No. Like, that's just his biggest problem. He can get there and lay a lick, but he's going to bounce off because he can't wrap.
Correct. And, you know, if we're going to run man or have somebody that's just going to be chasing Eckler, it's going to be Troy with that speed.
I can see that agility, athleticism. He ain't going to freak out seeing Eckler. He might get cooked, but he's not going to be, you know, Michael Walker. You get him in space, and he's just like, whoa.
Barbecue chicken.
Yeah, so. No, I agree. Like, this is the one I was like, okay. Like, I think, and I was talking about this earlier, I think part of the problem is him and Rashawn Evans, their talent overlaps. And so it's like what they're asking Michael Walker to do sometimes is like, that is not his game, but you got Rashawn Evans on the field, who we definitely know is not his game. Like, they had Michael Walker running. They ran Tampa 2, and they had Michael Walker running the deep hole. And I'm like, oh, that's not where I want him. And they ran a dig right behind Troy. Troy almost made the play, but it's like the space is vacated by – Michael Walker, and it's like, I don't want him that far from the line. Like,
not at all.
And then you go to the Hail Mary from PJ Walker, and you got Rashawn Evans playing deep middle. Like, what are you doing, Dean Pease? Like, I got a little bone to pick with Dean right now. Like, he's just, I know the secondary is banged up, but put your pieces where they work.
Well, tell him about yourself, brother.
It's just, you know, he's not Cornell Armstrong. Shout out. He had a good game, all things considered. He had a good game. Darren Hall had a pretty good game. Richie, this is the worst I've seen Richie. And Richie, I know it's your first year starting, blah, 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 but like they're just – Dean Marlowe's worse than cheese. Jordan Richards. I'll take it back. That was 2015, 2016. Jeez, he's the worst safety I've seen play for the Atlanta Falcons in a long time.
Jeez.
Bruh's bad, just plain bad. And so it's like, I get you don't have Jalen Hawkins back there, but how do you not just put Richie in spots to win? Like, put your players where they win, and so be it, right? So I don't know. Like, I think the defense lack confidence because I don't know how much of what Dean Pease is running is the stuff that they practice or are comfortable with. I mean, we can barely run cover two cleanly. We can't run inverted cover two looks. We can barely run Tampa two looks. Like, it looks like they're just trying to run the play right versus playing defense. And I put that on Dean Pease.
We got a defensive touchdown, Lorenzo Carter.
On screen.
Came up in the clutch.
I mean, they make plays here and there. Richie got a pick to close out the Seahawks game. You know, it's not like they're not fighters, but when you turn on, and I know the Bills best defense in the league, right? But if I want aspirations, I'm going to point to good defenses. And it's like, they're talking, they're communicating pre-snap, they're adjusting. You can see they're like, all right, not only do I know what I'm running, but I know what you're going to try and run against me. So look out for X, Y, and Z. And we just line up.
And just look.
And trying to react. And it's like, you got to like process of elimination, something, help me out. Like, you can't guard at all nine routes. Like, you gotta use your brain and be like, okay, if he's lined up in the slot, he's probably going to run this, this, and this. He's got a tendency to run this, this, and this. And it doesn't look like they do any of that. And that's on Dean Pease. So.
Is it because he's used to coaching great linebackers?
I mean, he had Rashawn Evans in Tennessee. Like, I thought at least Rashawn brings that with him here, but Rashawn looks like he's just lining up because he doesn't have a green dot. He's not getting the calls. Michael Walker's getting the calls, and I think that's why we're so hard on Michael Walker, because it's like, bro, like, somebody has to take the reins of the defense and own it.
Right. And we're just be out there looking sweet.
Yeah, just looking out there, just okay. We're gonna run cover two. Let me get to my zone. Okay, let me see who's in my zone. Okay, let me make the tackle. It's like, so I mean, there's no reason you give up 34 points to PJ Walker. I mean, they were getting abused on the ground, which was a surprise to me, considering, you know, I spent the weekend watching Panthers versus Rams and Panthers versus Bucks. And I was like, all they run are is just power runs and screens. And that's predominantly what they ran on Sunday. And they still put up 34 points.
34-37, overtime. I'll take that win, though.
Oh, I'm taking a dub. I'll bitch about a win every day of the week, especially one like that. We see him again in, what, 10 days?
Get your popcorn ready, baby. That would be a fun trip to take. That would be a fun road trip.
We're going to go to the Queen City. Go beat them boys. So, no, I mean, all things considered, I'll take it. It was a rough game. All bets are off when it comes to divisional games. I mean, you can look right now. The Cleveland Browns are beating the Cincinnati Bengals 25-0, and we beat the Browns and got smoked by the Bengals. Like, there's sometimes there's no rhyme or reason when it comes to these games, and I'd rather be on the winning side of them. So
definitely.
So up next Sunday, still we got back-to-back home games. We 3-1 at home. Should be undefeated, man. That one burns me up every time I remember it. But Chargers, LA Chargers coming to town.
I think our energy would be different. Trying to maintain that undefeated streak. I like being 4-4.
Yeah. No, I mean they we got a Chargers team coming to town a little banged up. JC Jackson on injured reserve, out for the season. Keenan Allen been banged up. His hamstring been acting up. Keenan Allen seems like he's just always hurt, man. It's just so he's like a quintessential Charger.
How old is he?
30. Yeah, he's not even that old. It just seems like he's just always hurt. So you got
like a banana.
Keenan Allen coming back with a tight hammy. Mike Williams gonna be out. You know, they said when he rolled his ankle, he's gonna miss 4 weeks. So he'll be out this game. And so you're talking about, you know, a banged up receiving core against a banged up secondary in Atlanta. You got Austin Eckler, who's probably going to go for 250 yards combined against this defense. And then Justin Herbert. I mean, you know, who knows how these ribs feel. They got a bye week. So you're coming off the bye week. So he should be healthier than normal, but they really haven't really been letting him throw the ball like that these last few games. I mean, he had a 4.2 yard per attempt against the Broncos. Yes, that defense is legit.
Who was he talking to?
I mean, we're talking about like if that's the bottom, but he had a sub 7 yard YPA against the Browns the week before that. He had a sub 6 against the Seahawks.
And this is an NFC game. He's not going to value.
So, I mean, we'll see how Herbert looks coming off the bye week. He should be rested, but like you said, I don't know who you throw to when you got Keenan Allen's probably not 100%. Hammies suck. So, you know, he's not going to be 100%. Mike Williams out. Josh Palmer's probably out. It's going to be interesting. They might be able to slip up and steal something from them. Like, I don't trust the offense to keep Khalil Mack at bay. They still got Derwin James, who's going to, you know, teach Kyle Pitts a little bit about the NFL. You got Asante Samuel Jr. Shout out to the son of the GOAT, Falcon legend Asante Samuel. I just worry about Mariota. I mean, I think it's a similar defense to the defense he just faced. And I think they can be had. I mean, Geno just went and dog walked those boys for 37 points. In LA?
Over-unders?
No, not yet.
Total over? Under?
I mean,
what would you put it at? Total point score?
60.
Is that 49.5?
Yeah.
We got a 30 burger too, brother.
Yeah, I think it's another one where we got to break 30. I don't see any reason, even without Mike Williams, even if it's only Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and Gerald Everett, I think Justin Herbert is going to have DMPs nervous. I think our defense plays on its heels for another week for no reason. And I'm worried that they look forward to the rematch with the Panthers. Like those are my big concerns with this one. It's like the game on Sunday, just that one took me 24 hours to get adjusted to. And so then you got to, you know, beat the Chargers, but you're still thinking about the Panthers game coming up. And like you said, AFC, NFC matchup, what if we come out and lay an egg?
That would be interesting.
So
it would probably be based on, you know, what the premise of what you just laid out, them focusing on next week.
Yeah.
I think if we stay aggressive in this game, we win. I think, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I think this will be a game that I blitz a lot.
I'm blitzing often. I want to test those ribs out.
Yeah, and I don't trust their receivers. And I got Troy one-on-one with Eckler. I like that matchup.
Mm-hmm. I would send some man blitzes and prep for some screens, see if I can get Everett to block or get Eckler to block or run delays. The more I can slow them down, you know, in that short, quick game, then it's Keenan Allen running a bunch of slants and comebacks and whatnot. So I agree.
Who are their corners? Asante Samuel Jr., who else?
Give me one second, my brother.
Because I don't think either of them will be able to hold Drake London. I think this is a Drake game.
I hope, man. Yeah, I don't know. Michael Davis? I don't know. I don't know their backups. I know they got Bryce Callahan, but I think Bryce has been in the slot. I like their safeties. I'm a big Nasir Adderley fan. They got JT Woods behind them. Like, I like their safeties behind Derwin James. You know, I'm playing a race. I think this is also where you see the beauty and the impact of Kyle Pitts becoming a good blocker this season. Cordero should be back. So if he's back, now you got conflict where it's like, okay, if I put him in the field, in the backfield, but I put Kyle Pitts in line, they're probably going to match up with Derwin James. And now you got Kyle Pitts getting after it on the safety, on the DB. You know, they like to play that small ball defense. And it's like, I don't think you want to do that against this rushing attack. Like,
And I think they're going to be focused on Pitts. And Cordero putting the stress on the safeties. I think it's going to be one-on-one action.
Yep.
With Drake. Drake got that nasty get off, boy. What's that mean? What they say? I didn't know your powers or something like that on Twitter. I didn't respect your skills.
Hey.
I did not respect that get off. But
load up the Drake.
Man, he put that inside out. Inside out, outside on that boy in that corner, filthy. He looked like Chad Johnson on that release.
No, that's that basketball release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I just love how physical Drake plays. I mean, even on that slant he caught, and the safety came down and laid a lick, and he bounced off it.
Definitely, and he was giving me Keenan Allen vibes. But like you said, I like the toughness that we got from him.
Yep. So I can see that be a. This being a Drake London game, I think it's a solid matchup. If Mariota plays a clean game, I'm gonna put it down right now on wax. Mariota plays a clean game, we win by double digits.
Double as in 20
or 10? 10 plus.
Do you see a scenario when we manhandle him?
No, because our defense don't allow that. I just don't think their offense. If Mariota plays a clean game, we just put up 30 with him throwing two interceptions. So if he plays a clean game, I think we put up 30, no problem. I just don't think the Chargers offense plays a clean game. Yes, they're coming off the bye, but they're still banged up. You don't have Mike Williams. Like you can, but then we just let DJ Moore get loose. Right? I don't know. Like, I do think if Mariota plays a clean game, I mean, it was the two interceptions that make it not a clean game where open overtime, you throw a pick. Open the start of the game, you throw a pick. And those are two plays where you had guys open. I think on wax, Falcons can win by 10 if Mariota plays a clean game.
10 points. We got automatic threes.
10 plus. Yeah, I mean, we got auto threes with Koo. So just play clean and at least consistently move the ball, get in field position. And
I can see that. Because our corners are playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to throw the ball. And I don't, like I said, I don't trust their receivers. I don't trust their tight end. I don't trust any of their pass catchers outside of Austin Ekeler. And that run game with Ekeler doesn't scare me with what we have to work with quick, powerful Grady Jarrett and with a faster Troy. You're not getting inside and you're not getting outside. And now we have Ebiketie who can keep the edge contained. Lorenzo Carter, you know, he'll maintain and do what he does, but I'm looking at the speed of it on the field. And that's Austin Ekeler's power, speed and looseness. And we match up against him. I don't see how we beat him. But if they put Michael Walker in there, you're going to see a different game. Michael Walker should play this game, this Carolina game. He should rest up and play the next Carolina and get some restitution. Because Deontay Foreman scored that touchdown right over his forehead. So he got some get back. He need to get on. And he put up 3 touchdowns. Big fantasy points.
Yep. Yeah. But then, bro, the Chargers allowing 27 points per game. They're giving up 140 yards rushing on the ground. I think it's one of those situations. I think it's one of those surprise games where the Falcons could be up big and everybody would be like, wait, what the hell? Like, are the Falcons for real? Like, that's this game. We have not been over 500 since the end of 2017. December 31st, 2017 was the last time the Falcons had a winning record. And this is Arthur Smith's chance to get that monkey off the franchise's back. Like, everything is, like, lining up. And I feel like it's almost got to be a hunger and a desperation coming into this one with that in mind. Like, the Chargers coming off a bye, so you're going to have to – you getting a team that's pretty rested, you know. Yeah, they got travel, but I don't like playing teams coming off the bye. But it's like, I want to see the Falcons first in the South at the crib wanting to make a statement. It's like, nut up and play the best 8 quarters of football you can on Sunday and then turn around and do it on Thursday. And you get a mini bye week. You get 10 days off.
10 days. That's what I'm saying. I'm resting. You did good. You did good this week. 8 tackles. Yeah. Good job.
10 days off. Then you play the Bears, the Commanders, the Steelers, and then you get another bye week. Like, this thing is packaged where I feel like if they beat the Chargers, Falcons go on a 6-game win streak.
Going back to Bryan Edwards, I find this interesting. I hope he actually gets some snaps because we're coming into the season, we thought he was going to have a role, and it hasn't come to fruition yet. But he was a Raider, and he got that little rivalry itch on him too. I think they might try to sneak him in a little bit more just off that.
I don't think so.
Just little gamesmanship.
I don't think Bryan Edwards' heart is in it anymore.
Really?
Who's he taking snaps from and why?
Avery Williams. Tired on a punt return.
I just don't see, unfortunately. I mean, the potential is there. Like, he feels like Josh Allen. Josh Gordon, just a tease. It's like, oh, bro, you can be good. And then he's not. It's like Damier Bird. I'm not throwing Bryan Edwards in there over Damier Bird. I'm not throwing him in there over Kadarius Hodge. I get Cordero back, so I really don't even need Bryan Edwards.
He's like Damian Williams at this point.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. I think
– I got a question for you.
I like the matchup.
We in week what? Going into week 8?
Nah.
Going into week 9, week 4-4. How many games we got in the season? 16? We play 16? 17. They extended it. Do we see Ritter this year?
Man, you see, I keep going back and forth. The weekly, do we see Ritter this year question. I said last week we see him after the Chargers game, But I forgot we had the Thursday nighter versus Carolina. So I don't that makes no sense. But I don't know. Like, it just doesn't make sense. They're first in the South. Like, that's what I'm saying. If they beat the Chargers, you beat the Chargers and you beat the Panthers in the span of 10 days, you are 6-4 with 10 days rest going against the Bears, the Commanders, and the Steelers.
Cook.
Like, you can literally be 9-4 going into your bye week.
Yes, sir.
Like, and so then if that happens, and that's a legit, that I'm 8-5. Like, they have a legit chance to be well above 500 going into their bye week. Are you really sitting your starting quarterback for a third round rookie? No. It's just not happening.
That Bears game, too. We're going up against a Roquan-less and Robert Quinn-less Bears team now.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we see Ridder, it's going to be in a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
If we see Ridder, it'll be against the Bears or the Commanders or the Steelers because we've routed them. And it's the fourth quarter, and Mariota had one of the cleanest games of his life, and we're up, like, 20. And even then, why? Because all you're going to do is hand the ball off.
That's it. So you I can just, leave Mariota in there for that.
Yeah. So I just I don't see. I have yet to see why Ridder plays. Other than the in-game mistakes Mariota makes. He makes in-game mistakes. He makes some dumb plays. But it's also like you don't bench a quarterback when you're leading the division.
That was against conventional wisdom. You don't want that press. You don't want that heat.
It's like, think about you bench Mariota. Why? Like, he's got his team winning, and Ridder comes in and he's worse. Like, people right. cannot fathom that situation where it's like, what if Ridder is not that guy? You benched Mariota. Now you have no quarterback going into the offseason when you were leading your division.
That's not how Arthur Smith thinks.
No. We're here to win. We're going to win. Terry told you that the first day he got hired. We are not tanking. We are here to win. And damn it, bro, they are. Ah, man. If you would have told me in July the Falcons are going to mess around and have a winning record, I would have laughed at you. I'm an optimist, and even I was projecting a losing record. But, man, these boys really have a chance. I'm really excited for Sunday. I like the matchup. Like, for some reason, you know, we all have fond memories of the Chargers just always being good. And I think that's coming into a play a lot with this matchup, where it's like, we're playing the Chargers. They're going to just light us up. But I don't think so, man. We beat the Seahawks, and Seahawks just put up 37 on them. Like, I think it's a shout out Arthur Smith, man. I just love the team. I love the culture. I love the fight. Like, I love that they repaid the fans for showing up and did not lose that game on Sunday. Cause I'm telling you, if we would have lost on Sunday, it's probably dead in there against the Chargers. But I think we're going to go into that Chargers game. The dome going to be rocking. The fans going to be talking so much shit because we got our winning record on the line. And I think Arthur Smith feeds off of it. I think the team feeds off of it.
We're going to see. Yeah, it's going to be lit in there.
I'm excited. So, all right, over unders. Go ahead. Over unders. Where we at?
Over under. He didn't fumble.
He didn't. He just threw the two picks.
Over under Mariota fumble. He got to come back to the mean.
Damn, what were we doing? Pick fumble. No, man. Oh. Zero.
Zero fumbles. Mariota has stopped fumbling.
Zero.
Over, nope. Under. Cool 40-yard kicks.
One.
Two. Yeah, we gonna.
Oh, two of them. Oh. Dang, that's a good one. I'm going to take, man. So is it 1.5? So can I take the two? I think he kicks two.
Let's go 1.5. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he kicks two. I think he kicks two. Watch him mess around and kick like a 39-yarder. No, I think because you're going to stall. Yeah, you stall right around the 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we get a couple coos in the crowd. Coo!
Mm-hmm.
Over
under. 0.5. I'm just going to say, does Kyle Pitts score another touchdown? Ooh-wee.
on Derwin James.
Ooh,
Florida versus Florida State. Gator versus nice Seminole. Little,
yeah, you know, talking about gamesmanship.
Yeah. Let Pitts keep getting loose in the crib.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, give me a score prediction.
No. Over, not under. Yet. Drake, 50 yards.
Over. Ooh. Drake smashes 50 yards.
Okay. I like it. Over under Mariota interceptions, one.
Mariota does not throw an interception or fumble.
Clean game. Man.
And he's going to silence the doubters, and he's going to be ready to rock for Carolina.
Wow. Hey, if we get
Oregon doesn't like LA.
If we get a Mariota clean game, we win by 10+. Score prediction.
He's a new man, new age.
Score prediction. 34-24 Falcons.
That's your 10.
You see it. I got my two cool field goals, and I got my 10-point victory.
Just out of reach. That's a good score.
Over. Oh.
We get another burger?
Wait, one more. Who gets a touchdown, rushing touchdown, Tyler Allgeier or Caleb Huntley?
None of them.
Who's going to get it?
Mariota.
Yeah, read option. Man, read option, corner of the end zone and a little red zone keeper. He's going to throw for 3 touchdowns. Mariota's going to have a 4 touchdown game. Man,
his revenge continues.
I hope it's an explosion like that where it's like, what?
Right. They're like, okay, we got to keep an eye on them for real.
Yeah, man.
That would be good stuff.
Yeah. No, I think
it happened. That's the funny part. It's not too far fetched.
Yeah, it was just the two interceptions. Like, and they were just such dumb throws. It's like Mariota, mm-hmm. like you saw he wasn't open. You got a 5'8 receiver 40 yards down the field, and you're throwing a 50-50 pass. Like, don't do that.
In the middle.
Like, don't do that. But and that's kind of why I'm with you on Drake London. It's like Asante is not, you know, CJ Henderson or JC Horn. Like, they don't have that size on the outside like the Panthers had. Like, the Panthers had the size to at least give Drake London some blues. You know, he'll mix you up anyway, but at least they got some size where they kind of match up enough where, you know, they're meeting you. It's like, I think when you got Cordero coming back, you got that physical run game. I think the Chargers are small. They're going to be quick. They'll probably confuse Mariota a couple times on some coverages, but I think having Cordero come back changes the numbers back in their favor. He's probably going to get some soft zones that he knows exactly what he's looking at. And if he puts that thing on the money and takes the right shots, I think he's sniffing one of those stupid games where it's like, how the hell did Mariota do this to you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, man. Give me 34-24. I'm rolling the dice big time. We're getting a winning record.
I go 31-21.
I could go with that too.
Tone it down just a little bit, but we still gonna rock it.
Cause we at the crib, man. We are at the crib. Like, Arthur Smith, I just love what is happening. Cause it's like, wait until we start winning. Wait until we start dogging folks. Like, mm-hmm. we haven't even gotten the talent that we need to really just beat up on teams. And I think it's close. Like, I think free agents and players across the league are going to see what's happening in Atlanta, and it's going to be like, all right, bet. Like, yeah, like, I want in. I want some of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this should – I want this to be one of those games. Like,
yeah. All right, brother. Ready to wrap this thing up?
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been King's Landing. I'm Brian King. Hope to speak to you. Hope you guys tune in next week.
Falcon Nation. Let's ride.
Rise up.